never rests.
What's up, the Georgia Show. Welcome in on your Monday night. Look, guys, we pushed it to Monday because Easter was yesterday, and we're pretty glad we did. There's a lot to get to in this edition of the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Roos, he's Jake Rowe, and we are, as always, on the Georgia Show, presented by American Pride Bank. Look, if you're looking for local, flexible solutions, dealing with decision makers at every turn, small business loans, personal banking, online, in person, Athens, Alpharetta, get over AmericanPride.bank is where you want to go. You're always talking to a decision maker when you're talking to American Pride Bank. They are a member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender and a great friend of the Georgia Show. So get over and check out AmericanPride.bank. Great friends, great partners.
You know how I know American Pride Bank has got their stuff together? They would never loan a man like me money.
Sure.
They would never loan me any money. So that's how you know that they're a stand-up crew.
Rapscallions need not apply.
That's right.
Guys, look, let's get into this. Like I said, we delayed the Georgia Show yesterday. Everybody was out doing family things for Easter. But we're in tonight, and we're talking about what was a big, big evening. At one point, Jake Rowe texted the Dogs HQ group chat and said, guys, please help. because it started coming fast and furious last night. Georgia lands probably by all intents and purposes, all measurables that we can gather, its top player in the portal, top target in the portal, in Elo Madozi, transfer from Army, an edge transfer from Army. But then the Dogs come on the back of that, Jake, add two more transfers on Sunday night. Josh Horton, defensive lineman from Miami, and then also running back Josh McCray from Illinois as well. Really interesting pickups. The McCray one not necessarily on the radar for a lot of people. Kind of flew in under, took kind of a quiet visit. Horton, you knew a little bit about. Madozi, you knew what's going on. Bo Atkinson was in town. We'll talk a little bit about that too. But Georgia, three dog night on Sunday night. And I am curious, let's just dive in on your thoughts, Jake. And I want to start with Madozi, because like I said, for all we can tell, all we were able to gather, he and Atkinson kind of 1A and 1B in terms of what Georgia wanted to get in this portal. We had been preaching the idea that they wanted to get an edge throughout this thing. And they go out and they get an absolutely coveted one and lock him up before he even gets a chance to step foot on another campus.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't really catch on to this at first, you know, because you end up with two guys, right? You end up with him and Bo Atkinson kind of hanging out there together. Those are clearly, obviously, the first two guys Georgia goes after in terms of edge prospects out of the transfer portal. And we told everybody from the jump, well, let's not get there. We'll go there later. But you're thinking, you're looking and you're seeing the production and you're thinking Bo Atkinson, he played in the ACC. Yada, yada, yada. Maybe he's the top target. And then as you kind of slowly dig and you learn more, I don't want to go ahead and just say Elo Madozi is Georgia's top targeted edge. Maybe he is. But I do think that Georgia was quicker in dealing with him when he got into the portal than it was quick as in dealing with Bo Atkinson. Now, I mean, we may be talking a couple hours here, but I do think he's every bit as big of a priority as Bo Atkinson is. And I can already see it right now. You know, there are some Georgia fans out there that like to kind of rib us a little bit. And I don't necessarily know that they're good natured in doing so. They like to get angry with us a little bit. And they're like, already sour grapes. You're already at sour grapes. You're not, somebody told me I was paid to say that there's a long way to go on the board. I can't remember who that was like yesterday, but, I'm not paid to say those things. I say what I like and what I feel like saying, but I don't want folks to think, well, you know, hey, he left campus without committing. So clearly he's, you know, so you're kind of hedging your bets, man. Georgia wants that guy. Georgia wants Bo Atkinson. 100%.
I think it's completely fair to say, right, by everything that we know, Georgia would willingly take both guys. I mean, it's not a either or.
And that's kind of what I was getting to. And we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about that and why in a little bit. Right. But clearly, Elo Madozi is a big time target for Georgia. And it's because of the measurables. It's because of, hey, he's 6'3 and a quarter. He's 243 pounds. He's got 81 inch wings, which usually translates to 33 to 34 inch arms. You know, I mean, listen, you're explaining, you're kind of putting together the type of guy that Georgia is going to recruit almost all the time. 23 foot long jump. He's a freak athlete. And I've got to listen, I've done it everywhere I could. I worked with some great people at 24/7, and Chris Hummer is one of them. Okay. And Chris Hummer at 24/7, through all of this madness and being a portal expert and doing all that stuff, doing a great job. I think everybody plays second fiddle to my man, Steve Wiltfong and Pete Nakos. I mean, that's a pretty good dynamic duo as well. But Chris had the ability to kind of put together a feature on Madozi, and I was able to read it. And one of the things that he said in that article was that Madozi came to Army as a wideout, as a big physical wideout. And you could think, okay, 6'3", 200-pound wideout. What's he at Army for? He's at Army to block. He's at Army to block for the triple option and to possibly get downfield and start making plays, you know, whenever they go play action. Well, he wanted to move to the defensive side of the ball, something he had gotten a taste of in high school over at Bartram Trail there in the St. Augustine area. And ultimately, as it turned out, loved defense, talked the Army staff into playing defense, and he flourished as a sophomore on that side of the ball. And so there's a pretty cool story here, and I'm hoping to get in touch with him myself so that I can tell it myself and quit having to give Chris Hummer all the credit.
No, I think that's – look – quite frankly, we don't often hear that story, right? I mean, you almost never. I can't think of another instance where you think about guy is a wideout and gets a taste of defense. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are playing wideout because they don't want to, you know, get physical back there playing corner, right? To some degree, that can be the case in a lot of it, let alone get out there and make yourself a pass rusher and take your body and turn yourself – add on what, 35, 40 pounds onto your frame? Yeah. I mean, really kind of fill yourself out, embrace it. Somebody on the board made a really good post as well on the dog walk. And it seems self-explanatory, and it seems like, yeah, of course it would be that. But I don't know that it dawned on me until he said it. He said, hey, look, you think this kid's going to have a problem with discipline or taking orders from people? I mean, for God's sakes, he was at West Point. So, I mean, he's going to be kind of wired in the way that Georgia wants it. I also thought that the Bartram Trail connection was pretty interesting just because he's obviously a Southern kid, right?
I mean, can you not tell by the name?
Sure.
I mean, he sounds like a North Florida, South Georgia guy just all day long.
Sure. No, but Madozi, I think Rusty compared his physical build to that of Azeez Ojulari, and Georgia hasn't, I don't know, necessarily kind of had a guy like that.
Well, I'll tell you
Chaz
this.
Chaz is built not dissimilarly, but if you want to talk
about his height, like his height, right. he's taller than Nolan Smith. He's taller than Azeez. He's taller than Chaz Chambliss. Yep. I mean, he's certainly got a bigger, longer frame than any of those guys do. Right. I think he's probably going to be in the same neighborhood.
What did Jeremy say? Jordan Jenkins?
Yeah, Jordan Jenkins is probably a pretty good one. Jordan ended up getting pretty big, getting pretty heavy. But yeah, Jordan Jenkins is a good one. He was also very long. I would also kind of put him in the same. I mean, as far as physical size, Damon Wilson. And what's crazy, he and Damon Wilson came in the same class, right?
Yeah.
And you're sitting here, and one of these guys is like signs with Army, and the other one signs with Missouri. And they might be, they're going to be pretty close in terms of how good they are. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm not saying that Damon Wilson's not better. He may be, very well could be.
I mean, a five star, this kid, the only real ranking I could find on this kid was Rivals had him as a two star coming out, a two star wide receiver in his class.
I know it doesn't work like that all the time, but that's the way it kind of goes. And let's throw Bo Atkinson in there, who was in the same class, right? And he was a four-star prospect in the high 200s, I want to say 250, right around 300. So he was what you would call a low-rated four-star. And all of these guys, I don't think if you put them on the field together and turned them all loose and kind of let them all do their thing, I don't think they're going to be that dissimilar.
Yeah, probably not. And I don't think Georgia views it that way. Look, I, to me, though, Jake, the huge story about this is it's the thing that we preached pretty much since the offseason began. Georgia needed this exact thing. And look, it's not a surprise, right? You should expect that if Georgia can add a talented edge rusher in the transfer portal every cycle, they will do it. That is completely my take on that. And I don't think that that's endemic to Georgia. I think that that's the case with everybody. The name of the game is pass rush in this league and in this game right now. So everybody is shopping for that position. This should come as no surprise, but that Georgia had a clear and defined need because of the Damon Wilson defection. We're able to move and go out and find a guy, 1A, 1B. I think that that deserves a lot of credit. Shadera Uzodiribe, really nice pickup for him. I was impressed with it. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about Bo Atkinson here in a second, but we'll see if they can't do that one as well.
Yeah, and moving on here to defensive tackle. To the defensive line position, right? Hey, we got some stuff going on behind the scenes here. I noticed. I looked up. And I saw,
throwing curveballs. At
yeah, like I'm trying to throw curveballs. So I was looking at the time, and it was a bad time to do what I was thinking about doing. So we're changing stuff. That's why Roos is laughing over there. We're better when we're bad. I feel like. But moving on to like the defensive line, you got Joshua Horton here,
yeah.
And Roos. This feels a lot like Xavier McLeod to me. This feels like a course correction is what it feels like. And I'm not saying Miami's a bad spot. It's clearly not. Like, I mean, trust me, if my son were a D1 prospect today and Miami was recruiting him, we would entertain Miami 100 times out of 100. There's a lot of tradition at that school. It's in a cool spot. You know, I could always, you know, we could get a little NIL deal for a young Henry Rowe and I could run down there and do some fishing, right? We could, you know, maybe get a boat out of the deal or something, you know, like, hey, we're not worried about cash. Just, nice, good Key West, 22 feet, something like that. Sure. You know, I'd prefer a World Cat, but anyway. But Josh Horton, I think there was some buzz that he wanted to be at Georgia the first time around.
Atlanta,
I think,
boy, right? Yeah, Langston Hughes.
And I think Miami kind of blew him away a little bit. They wanted him maybe a little bit more just in terms of the financial commitment to it, and he went ahead and made that work for him. So it goes a couple of years. Now he's back at Georgia. The thing that Rusty and I were talking about this one this morning, and we'll probably dig into it a little bit more on Dogs HQ Plus later this week, is, man, Georgia's after a lot of sub-300-pound bodies as far as their D-tackles go. And to me, that screams, hey, we like you to play 3-tech, but we need you to also be able to play 5-tech. You know, and I don't know if you understand what that means is, 3-tech is kind of defensive tackle. 5-tech is defensive end, which is technically a 5-technique, outside shoulder of the tackle, head up the tackle, or inside shoulder of the tackle. And you can do all three of those things. And we have seen Warren Brinson do that. We've seen Tyron Ingram Dawkins and Mykel Williams and a bunch of other guys do that.
You're the scheme guy. Yeah, you know, you break down the film. You know this stuff better than I do. Do you think that that goes with the speed of the game and what we're seeing, the speeding up of it and the guy being able to move those guys around and say, okay, we can slot him in at tackle here, but we need to maybe bump him on this one just depending on what the set is because it's move.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But I also think too, man, like they lost two guys that were super versatile for them in Ty Ingram Dawkins and Warren Brinson.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go back to the first of the season in that Clemson game, Warren Brinson played a couple, two or three snaps and was done. Okay. That left Georgia with Nazir Stackhouse, Christian Miller, and Ty Ingram Dawkins. And then, you know, and then they had Mykel Williams who was playing edge and defensive end. But those three guys were the three guys kind of playing all the interior snaps. Then Brinson comes back and then later on they get Jordan Hall back, but Ty Ingram Dawkins continues to kind of slide inside and play some of those inside snaps around 280 pounds. I believe he was 277. Or 273 or something at the NFL Combine, which doesn't surprise me because he was kind of working out in the edge group, probably wanted to drop a few pounds. But to me, they're trying to replace that. Now, I could be wrong on that. I mean, they could line the dude up at nose, but he weighed in around 290 pounds this past weekend. And that Kirby talks a lot about having 300-pounders on the interior. And to me, I think that right now we're seeing maybe Josh Horton. I don't expect a ton. Like right out of the gate, because we're looking at a late transfer that's going into a new system, and Georgia has some pretty good players at that spot.
And he was hurt, right?
I do not know anything about
it. I believe there he was a little bit limited last year. I'd have to double check that, but I feel like I remember reading that he was a little limited by injury last year.
Redshirt freshman.
So got some time, got some experience.
Yeah, he'll be a sophomore this year.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We've got him 6'3 and a half, 275 pounds. Great size, man. Came out of high school as I wanted to see where he kind of fell in the rankings. Four-star guy, 247 arrivals, four-star guy on three in ESPN, both three stars. So interesting.
The industry was kind of split on him on four-star, yeah, three-star, yeah, prospect. Yeah.
Now, unranked by everybody, but finished 421 nationally. So not that far out of a consensus industry-ranked four-star.
You say finish makes me think you're talking about maybe he's from Finland.
Sure. Fairburn is pretty damn far from Finland.
I would say so. I'd say the places are very different. You can see a little bit of him on film right here. Right there, he's observing his faith.
And I got to tell you, I think you probably – ooh, nice. Yeah. I feel like you feel this way as well. I do. I've always loved Langston Hughes kids.
Yeah, totally. They play great competition.
They do, and they're tough, and they kind of, that old classic phrase, right? Get it out the mud. Like Langston Hughes is getting it out the mud.
Let me tell you something too, and you know what I'm about to say here. There are old heads lining the fence out there that do it the right way too. There are a bunch of men around that program that speak life into these kids.
Yes.
Tell them you need to work. You need to get, you need to get your body right. You need to do this right. And there is a whole community around that program of guys you and I have talked about it over and over again. Langston Hughes, Westlake, all that. You will step around that fence to those old heads, and you'll be like, "Hey, you here to see so and so?" Yeah, actually, I am. Yeah. Hey, you need to be looking at so and so.
Yeah.
They'll tell you who you need to be looking at in the next 2 or 3 years. So
yes.
And he comes from that, and that's. Yeah. He's a big, strong kid. It's clear to see why Georgia liked him. It's clear to see why Miami and several others liked him. He can get back there and he can make plays. He's playing a lot of D end right here too, forcing a crap load of fumbles. One of the things I noticed when I was looking at his Max Preps profile, his senior year, he had 126 tackles in 15 games.
Oh, my God.
He had 126 tackles in 15 games.
I'm with that, man. Look, yeah, I will. No wonder. Yes. Take that.
Yeah. And so I like him. I do think it'll take him just a little bit of time to get it going, but I like him. I think he's a good player.
Well, he's not going to be compelled into service, right? I mean, hopefully that's really the ideal thing. You bring a guy like that in, he's got some experience, he's got some size, got a little nutrition. They're familiar with him too. That's encouraging, right? I mean, Trey Scott knew who the kid was, obviously. They recruited him. So
that's a big thing, having that relationship already.
I'm with it. Guys, look, speaking of relationships, myperfectfranchise.net is where you can form a great one. Andy Ludicky and the folks over there want to set you up with your American dream. Look, if you're looking to diversify in business, if you're looking to get into a new section of business, you want to take your life and career into your own hands, get over to myperfectfranchise.net. You can get over there and get in touch with them. They've got years and years of experience when it comes to this game. They've built businesses. They've built franchises. They've connected people with their American dream and their ability to move forward with it. Get over Andy Ludicky, myperfectfranchise.net. Again, that's myperfectfranchise.net. 100% free to you. They connect you. You got nothing to lose. Get over, check them out, see what they can do for you today.
We got one more, Josh McCray.
Yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, probably the one that if you think about what have you done for me lately, who has made the biggest splash, he's the guy. He's the one that's made the biggest splash lately.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What I love about Josh McCray is the measurables. 6'1", 200-plus pounds. I don't even know what we had him at last. We got him at like 207 in the database.
Josh McCray?
Yeah, what was Illinois listing him at?
Yeah, Josh McCray's 207 like I'm 207. He's going to be around. I'm a little lighter than Josh McCray, but he weighs about 240 pounds.
Woo! 6'1". Yeah. I mean, that's a hammer. Like you said, I believe MVP of the Citrus Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. A guy that we had mentioned Georgia wanted to get out and take an opportunity to get back into the – running back game. And we talked about, I think on the last show, it was when you hear that buzz, that typically indicates somebody's leaving. Branson Robinson obviously opted to take that route. Roderick Robinson, I don't know that we've got a good feel on. Will he, won't he? I haven't heard anything to that end. I don't know that you have either. This is a guy physically that could make you wonder, I think, similarly sized in that regard. But regardless, experienced ball carrier in the backfield, a guy who comes from Enterprise, Alabama, a school George is well familiar with recruiting. They went after two guys in this class, this past class for it. So they know the area really well. But McCray, a real standout at Illinois, did some really good things there. Let's see. I wanted to see here. I wanted to go through and read his little bio over on Illinois.
Now he's just splitting out playing receiver most of the time, which is pretty incredible. He is clearly not 207 pounds in high school either.
Totaled 33 games played, two starts, 291 carries, 1,300 rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns during his Illinois career. So a bit of a, Citrus Bowl MVP, 13 times, 114 yards, two touchdowns, helped him beat South Carolina, so he knows how to do that. Three touchdowns versus Michigan State. Doak Walker, preseason guy last year, comeback player of the year as well. They had him on that list. Preseason. So, he's not gotten just a ton of starts under his belt, but he's a guy who's done some good things. And ultimately, you know, Georgia, I think at the end of the day, do I think that this kid is going to usurp Nate Frazier? I do not at all. Do I think that Georgia wanted experienced help and size and a guy who kind of knows his way around? Yeah, I think so. And I think that that's where Josh McCray fits in.
Man, I felt like last year when Georgia tried to go to its tool bag for the run game, it reached in there and did not have a hammer. It did. I mean, at least it didn't have, you know, a big East wing with a claw on it. It had like a little, it had more of a finishing hammer with your guys like Trevor Etienne and Nate Frazier. They missed this guy. And, you know, apparently he's got a little bit of an injury history of his own, but he was healthy last season, which is nice. I'm sitting here watching his high school highlights because if we start putting his YouTube highlights up there, we might get demonetized and they might, you know, give us a strike. But I think he's a talented runner, and he's the guy that, I mean, listen, it's that what have you done for me lately thing. And when you go average about 10 yards a carry in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, okay, listen, that doesn't get any better than that. I mean, your cholesterol might be up a little bit, but that's about it. And he felt the cheesiest, coach, and that's the way it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Motivated, dedicated over here says Bo Walker might be a problem next year. He breaks a lot of tackles. I think everybody's expecting Bo Walker to get some snaps next year.
Yeah.
To get his opportunities. Like I said, I think that this is – Georgia has absolutely moved to committee. And really, one of those things that – you know, outside of, I mean, Nate to some degree kind of had to just take the reins and go last year. Before that,
maybe, period. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, DeAndre Swift, maybe kind of before that, but everybody's going by committee. You got to be deep at running back, and Georgia's going to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll say this too, this point right here, Chauncey and Peanut going to stay. Listen, I think Roderick Robinson's going to stay. I don't expect anybody to leave. I mean, here's the thing. Like when Branson left, it's like, okay, I could see that happening, but I don't think anybody was like, this is definitely going to happen. This has to happen. Right. So we're back to square one. They lost one, they replaced him. And that's where they are now. I mean, could Roderick Robinson go ahead and decide to make that decision? Maybe so. But at the end of the day, Roderick's going to have a leg up on this guy if he gets healthy. Because Roderick knows the lay of the land. He's going to, if he gets a full summer of conditioning and everything in, he knows this offense and he knows the terminology, and there's some stuff he's not going to have to learn. So, I think Roderick would be in good shape if he decided to stay. And also, I don't think this really impacts Chauncey Bowens I wanted to call him Peanut Tillman there for a minute. It doesn't really impact either one of those guys. I don't think they're just different types of backs. But I love that Georgia kind of gets another hammer here, and they get a guy that, you know, Branson's just had a tough time staying healthy. He's had so many injuries to that one knee. He's going to move on, and now you've got Josh McCray.
It's that point I made countless times. You were down to your fourth back last year. You made it that far down the chart. So, look,
you're going to lose snaps again this year. It's 100%. Going to happen. It's going to happen.
That's the nature of the position. So you better be deep. Yeah.
I think maybe the only season where Georgia stayed healthy front to back with its top two tailbacks was 2021. I think Zamir White and James Cook basically stayed healthy throughout the whole season. You know, Kenny McIntosh was banged up at some point early in that 2022 season. Kendall Milton, you know, was banged up every year he was at Georgia and fought through it at the end of the year. It's so funny. Every year started with everybody talking about how soft and how useless Kendall Milton was. And then by the end of the season, like, man, if Kendall Milton could just stay healthy, he's a monster. The way it went every year. So once he kind of got that figured out, he started to make some waves. So, I mean, listen, I think Georgia's in good shape at running back. I like what they've got. I do think they needed to insulate themselves from an every down back spot. And I think they've done that. When you got Nate Frazier, Josh McCray, Rod Robinson, Walker, and Chauncey Bowens, who kind of project as every down guys, you've got enough at every down now. And then you've got some kind of more gadgety guys in Dylan Bell, Dwight Phillips, and Cash Jones. I mean, there's a lot of guys. And you think, oh, my God, there's eight running backs possible. That's crazy. That's too many. I've seen Georgia football for the past couple of years. That's not too many. Not anymore. I was pushing against that narrative this time last year. Not anymore. I've learned my lesson. Sure. I've learned my lesson. I was wrong then. And I feel like we got a little bit of more of a handle on it now. So it begs the question, is Georgia done in the portal? And I mean, they could be. Circumstance could make it be to where they are. But I still think that there's a possibility they could take a couple more players.
Yeah, I think so too.
They want to take at least one more. I know that. Bo Atkinson is on the list.
Yes. I think another edge would make a lot of sense for Georgia. It's – like I said, man, we've talked about this a couple shows now. If it's the right defensive lineman, I think they probably entertain that. I think if it's, you know, an ideal situation like that, sure, maybe. I think that I expect that it will be a defensive help. I think that they're deep enough wide receiver, running back, you know, whatever. I mean, I'll tell you this, if Cam Pringle could transfer in interconference, they'd probably go after Cam Pringle.
Yeah, he was the number one tackle on their board, I believe, in that class. Yeah. And they ended up getting like tackles 2 through 6 on the board or something like that, 2 through 5. But he was the top one.
Yeah, I firmly believe they'd be after him if they could. But,
one that I could that wouldn't surprise me if Georgia got a little bit involved is our old friend Bear Bachmeier. Quarterback Stanford. Georgia recruited him out of high school. There was some talk about Georgia getting involved with the quarterback scene a little bit. Now, I don't necessarily know that they would pull the trigger there, but I saw that he jumped in the portal today, and I know Georgia's really familiar. They offered him. It wouldn't surprise me, wouldn't shock me. I think they even had him in for a visit, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong in saying that?
I believe that's correct, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so would not blow me away if they went that direction just to get another quarterback who's not in his first year on campus.
I want to ask you this because this is something that you have brought up, and I think that we need to
discuss. I haven't heard that, by the way. Before anybody starts to do, I have not heard that. I did not hear anything about
that. Source it to Jake Rowe.
I saw a name that made sense, and it said it wouldn't shock me. So I have not heard that. So don't come at me.
All right, look, Georgia, obviously the edge position, huge, right? But I feel like based on the things that I've read through the Dogs HQ group text, that you feel like Georgia not only maybe would take Bo Atkinson, but that Bo Atkinson could fulfill a different need than Elo Madozi does.
Yeah, no question. I mean, when we talked about it coming in, right, I was pretty adamant about one thing, and that was I think Georgia would like to add two if it's the right two, and it would be one that's kind of an outside linebacker edge and the other that's kind of a D-end edge. And the comps there are the two guys that are going to the draft. Jalen Walker, who is more of an inside linebacker edge, but the same thing, linebacker slash edge. And then there's Mykel Williams, who is a D-end edge. And so I think Georgia would love to have both of those guys because then what would happen is not in addition to have Quintavious Johnson, having Quintavious Johnson and Elo Madozzi at that outside linebacker edge position. Oh yeah, Gabe Harris can flip over there and play that a little bit for you in some certain situations. Oh yeah, then Bo Atkinson would also be able to do that.
Right.
And so you could go heavy in some situations and go Bo Atkinson or Gabe Harris at outside backer and go Joseph Jonah Ajanye or you know even Xavier McLeod at defensive end over there on the other side and go with kind of a bigger front and kind of beef up a little bit. And it just brings more options into play. Not only that, but third down. I mean, you're talking about two guys that I'm not certain, but I think they would have at least tied or led Georgia in sacks last year. So, and I know it's a different animal and Georgia runs a little bit of a different scheme. One thing I do want to say on Bo Atkinson, and I said this on Bill Shanks' show earlier, and he got a big kick out of this. Like, Bill does not normally just flat out laugh at you whenever you say something.
Yeah.
But one thing that got me thinking, I think Ohio State's a major contender for Bo Atkinson. They could absolutely get him. But I had a thought. So this guy didn't want to play for Bill Belichick. Is he going to go fall in love with Matt Patricia?
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, those are two peas in a pod, you know? I mean, it's that's one thing. I mean, I just had that thought. I don't know if that's going to play into it at all, not one bit. But I do think Atkinson is a really good player. And I don't think that – I don't think he's out of Georgia's price range based on what we've heard thus far. I don't think that that's going to be a big money deal. It sounds to me like if I had to characterize this, I think Bo Atkinson is one of those Jeb Blazevich types. Caleb Downs, even, I would say, kind of fits into this a little bit. He comes in with a lot of questions. He wants all those questions answered. He's going to take two different sides. He's going to walk away, and he's going to decide, all right, this is where do I want to be? And listen, money's probably going to be a factor in that, okay? Money's going to be a factor. Scheme's going to be a factor.
It feels like film may be on his mind as my like.
Yeah, he watched a lot apparently when he was in Athens. So that,
my ability to showcase my talents in the best way possible. Maybe, I mean, it may play as big of a factor as anything.
It could very well. I definitely think they'll keep him, not or take him if they can get him. Now our attention then turns to Alabama A&M defensive tackle Cedric Smith,
right.
And I get so tired of dancing around this, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And I might get in trouble a little bit. And if I do, you know, Rusty can slap me over the wrist with a wet
noodle. Damn the torpedoes.
Yeah, exactly. We can do all sorts of things. But I don't think Georgia takes Cedric Smith on scholarship unless they miss on Bo Atkinson maybe. And I honestly don't know if they take him on scholarship to begin with. He's a state of Georgia kid. Maybe there's something they can work out in state tuition. But I just don't necessarily think they take him unless it's under the right circumstances, unless sure. He's ready to kind of accept maybe one of those preferred walk-on deal early on, maybe try to figure it out via NIL to offset that or completely make up for it. I'm not saying that Georgia doesn't like him, but it sounds like he wasn't all that heavy when he got there, like he wasn't as big as maybe they thought he was going to be. And I think that they would like to have him and develop him, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think – I mean, it's his third school in three years. You know, he was at South Carolina State to start with, and then he was at Alabama A&M. He's from South Atlanta. Is that right?
I think that's correct.
Yeah, it sounds like that's where he's from. So I don't necessarily know that Georgia's dead set on taking a second defensive lineman unless it's under the right circumstances. And I would agree.
Like I said, to me, that's like dream scenario kind of stuff. That's like you find – look, I'm sure if David Stone could transfer interconference, they'd be after him like they would Cam Pringle, but – Them's the breaks.
And I tell you what, I forget every time. I forget every single time that you can't go within conference. At least I know.
Like, I saw David Stone's name pop up, and I was like, oh man,
but the only thing about that is Georgia wasn't involved there at all to begin. You know, that was another aspect of that recruitment that kind of, you know, got it going.
Hey, look, if you're looking for clarity in your recruitment, Sunhize. Go check them out, our friends and great sponsors. Jake Rowe, you and I have been talking a lot about Sunhize behind the scenes, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Sunhize is a product that, even if they did not sponsor this show, is completely worth checking out. There is no question in my mind. You will often forget, both Jake Rowe and I have experienced this, that you will wear these things and you will forget they are on your face.
Yes.
They are super light. They are super durable. They're super flexible. The frames are fantastic. Code DAWGSHQ20, that's DAWGSHQ20, gets you 20% off your first order over there. That's what I got, the Cottonwoods, baby, with the smoke, with the icy blue mirror. I'm out here looking like State Patrol every day, buddy. I mean, it is one of those things that you're going to look great. You're going to pay a great price. They stand behind their product. They are super involved in the community. They're an Athens area business, so they give back to the state of Georgia. There's just a number of ways that Sun Heist makes sense. And like I said, they're great friends, great people, and great partners to work with. They get it to you super quick. It's going to come with the little glasses case, man. I got mine right here. Very nice. Got the little sunglasses necklace with it. Got some cool stickers too. So look, yeah. Sun Heist, they hook you up, man. And it is a great product at a great price. And like I said, Jake Rowe and I are big proponents. We are fans of Sun Heist, and not every product that comes across are we that high on, but Sun Heist we are. DAWGSHQ20, your code for 20% off.
Yep. And Bruce, we got to get to this before the show is over. We're desperately running out of time here, like Tony Schiavone would say. But tomorrow night, Georgia's got a big game. They got to play at Clemson at 6. Is that at 8 p.m.? Good God, what in the world is this all about? 8 o'clock, first pitch.
8 p.m., Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, at Clemson. At least it's just down the road. But Georgia is now, after starting the season 29-2, Georgia is now 33-9. They're 4-7 in their last 11 games. They have lost 7 of their last 9 SEC games. They've been swept twice in the past 2 weekends, all by good teams. Now Vanderbilt's up to number 9. Texas is number 1 in the country, but you don't expect to get swept twice. I'll just go there, and that's what's happened to Georgia. They swept Florida on the road, but since then they've lost 6 straight on the road, and then that's a little bit of a problem. I'm not pitching all that poorly for the vast majority of the time. They're just unable to kind of get the bats going. Got a little bit of injury situation going on there with Ryland Zaborowski, but what the schedule starts to soften up a little bit, even though you're still playing ranked teams. They got a ranked win over Georgia Tech midweek last week, and that was a good one. They got Clemson again this coming week, and then they got Oklahoma for 3 at home, and then they get to play Kennesaw State and then at Missouri, and Missouri's pretty bad. Missouri's the bad news bears of the SEC, and I say that. They'll probably take 2 out of 3 from Georgia on the road, but oh well. And then they've got Alabama and Texas A&M to end the season. Georgia needs to get to 17 wins, for those of you out there wondering. They need to get to at least 17, I'd say probably 18 wins in the SEC to, you know, to – they don't need that to host a regional, but they need that to be able to get a top 8 seed and to host a super regional. And obviously when you're a team that plays as well as Georgia does at home, you need those wins. But the good thing is those last 6 games, really, honestly – if you look at it, 9 of their last 12 games are going to be at Foley Field. And so that spells good news right there, especially when you've got to play Missouri. So if you can go 2 out of 3 in all 3 of those home series, that's 6 wins. Win 2 out of 3 at pitiful Missouri, that gets you to 18 wins. And then you're kind of in the catbird seat. You're exactly where you want to be at that point.
Who is the real Georgia in your mind, Jake? Is it the one we saw against Vanderbilt? Is it the one we saw against Texas? Is it the one we saw against Arkansas? Is what's going on right now that's causing Georgia to end up in this situation where, I mean, it feels a little Jekyll and Hyde here at the end of the season.
It's home and away, I feel like. I really do. Like at home, you can't count them out. On the road, they look hapless at times. And I think that's where it stands. And so, listen, it's a very tough portion of the schedule. All in all, Oklahoma is ranked, and I don't know where. If you could look that up, I would really appreciate it. D1 baseball rankings, that would be awesome. But looking at, you go back to the Texas series, right? So you even to the Auburn series, Auburn is ranked number 11 right now. Georgia beats Auburn 3 straight at Auburn, at Foley Field. Then they go and they lose 3 straight at Texas. Then they win 2 out of 3 against number 1 at the time, Arkansas at home. I believe Arkansas is still top 5. They beat Georgia Tech at home, but then they go to Vanderbilt and they lose 3 more. Now, Vanderbilt's a tough place to play. There's a lot of pride in that baseball program. But Georgia wasn't really super competitive in any of those games for 9 innings. And then now they've got Clemson, which is a big game. Oklahoma is also ranked until they get a little bit of a reprieve there, having Oklahoma to play
14. Number
yeah, 14. Oklahoma's up to 14th and Georgia's 10th. That's a massive SEC series this weekend. Huge. And then, you know, like I said, if they can get two out of three in each of these last four weekends, which three of them are at home and another's against the worst team in the SEC, catbird seat. You're awesome. I mean, I do think Georgia should win eight of these last 12. And if they're playing really good baseball, if they can really get it going, I think they could win 10 out of the last 12. And that would certainly put them in a position at 20 and 10 in the SEC. That would certainly put them probably top five national seed, and they're hosting a regional. And if you win that four-team regional, you move on to a two-team super regional, for those of you unfamiliar, and then you play a three-game set there. Georgia would also get a chance to host that, just like it did last year. It just wasn't able to get game three from NC State.
Dogs Rolling Loud says, "Sup, fellas, go Dogs."
What does that mean? What does Rolling Loud mean?
I'm unfamiliar with the terminology.
Yeah, me too.
Guys, look, over to Dogs HQ. We've got full coverage of all the transfer portal stuff. We've also got the draft coming up, and we'll get back to that at the Georgia show later this week. We'll be back with you probably Thursday morning to talk about the draft. Big win for the Dogs, man. Got a chance to really get out in here and make some impactful moves. Really expand the brand even further when it comes to it. Shout out to our partners, AmericanPride.Bank. We've got Sun High STL at MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy Ludicky and the folks. Look, it's all happening over at Dogs HQ. Come check us out. $1, 7 days, get you in the door. Check it out. See what you like. See what you think. Come have some fun on the boards. We're having a good time. We're getting rid of some of the trolls, and we're cleaning the place up. And look, as my man Ricky Bond says, jaw up.
Jaw up. Jaw up.
Dogs HQ, the place to be, guys. We'll catch you on Thursday with our draft preview. See you then.